Okay, so my talk is about generating substitution systems using cellular automata. This is joint work with Marcus Bevato, who you heard talk yesterday. The motivation, so supposing you have a cellular automaton, and it's phi, it goes from x to x, where x is some d-dimensional lattice space, and supposing you have a closed phi invariant subset, x prime of x, so that it's a subsystem in its own right. If I'm given a dynamical system, my question is, do there exist subsystems, do there exist automata, and do there exist subsystems which are topologically conjugate to the dynamical system that I'm given? Okay, so here by dynamical system, I just mean a discrete time system t from y to y. So if that happens, I say that the automaton embeds the dynamical system yt. So previous work by Ethan Colvin, Marcus, and myself have shown that if phi is less permutative and non-injective, and actually memoryless, I forgot to write, then that automaton will embed what's called an odometer, okay, which I will explain in a minute. Geller and Mizurevitz have shown that for the game of life, if you take an initial condition, a certain initial condition, and you look at its trajectory, and you the closure of that trajectory, the phi orbit of that initial configuration can be represented by a substitution system. So substitution systems are related to odometers in two ways. On the one hand, the constant length substitution systems, which are actually finite state machines, are almost everywhere one-to-one extensions of odometers. And on the other hand, aperiodic primitive substitutions are just Bradley-Virchow systems, which are also natural generalizations of odometers. So because of these reasons, we thought maybe we had a chance to generalize our previous work. Okay, so the main theorem is this one. Supposing I have a Bradley-Virchow system where the Bradley diagram is properly ordered, simple, and stationary, then there exists cellular automata which embeds that Bradley-Virchow system. Okay, so I'm going to make all the definitions in a minute. So I just want to say what follows from that. In particular, if I do have an aperiodic primitive substitution with associated subshift x tau, then results of Forrest and Durand, Austin, Scouse show that the substitution system is topologically conjugate to the Bradley-Virchow system, which means that I've effectively embedded the substitution system in an automaton, a cellular automaton. And similarly, odometers also have a representation as a Bradley-Virchow system. So this work extends our previous work, but actually it extends it in a different way because the automata we identify here are not the same as the ones we have identified before. Okay, notation. So A is my finite alphabet. Set of words is just concatenations of letters from A. I can concatenate two words to get a new word. I can talk about the length of a word. Space of all bi-infinite sequences from A I write as A to the Z. I'm also going to look at infinite sequences which are either right infinite or left infinite. Okay, so I'll talk about that here. I make a distinction, and a left infinite sequence I write as xn and going from infinity to k. Left infinite means the numbers increase this way. I rarely use negative integers for indexing. Okay, if I've got two one-sided sequences, one left infinite, one right infinite, I can, one is called x, the other one's called y, I can stick them together to look at x dot y, which is a bi-infinite sequence, and that is how I look at bi-infinite sequences. Okay, with topology, I'm looking at the discrete topology on my alphabet A, and then I look at the product topology on A to the L whenever L is a lattice. Okay, a substitution, for those of you who don't know what it is just a map which takes every word in my alphabet and maps it to, sorry, every letter in my alphabet and maps it to a word from that alphabet. Okay. And given the substitution, you can iterate it by concatenation. So if I'm given a word, say, consisting of two letters, A and B, tau of the word AB is just tau A concatenated with tau B. Okay. And similarly, I can define the substitution on bi-infinite sequences this way. Tau of x dot y is just tau of x on the left and tau of y on the right. Okay, and it's primitive if if some power of the substitution satisfies the property that all the substitution words of that power contain all letters. Okay? So if you're used to, it's a very simple idea if you're used to it. And tau is proper, this is more important, if all substitution words start with the same letter, it's A underline, and all substitution words end with the same letter, A overline. Okay? So a couple of examples of famous substitution. The Morse substitution, maybe the first substitution ever studied, is tau of A goes to AB and tau of B is BA. Tau is primitive but not proper. It was an example of a minimal system which was not periodic. Okay, and then the Chacon substitution, tau of A is AABA, tau of B is B, and then this is neither primitive nor proper. Okay, a fixed point of a substitution is a point which is fixed by tau. So here is some technicality about how to generate fixed points. They're not so rare, it's quite easy to generate them. I need my fixed point to be admissible, and this is just a technical condition. What it means is that the fixed point I generate is not artificial, that it generates the language of the subshift, which I'm about to define. So I only consider admissible fixed points, and if I have an admissible fixed point, I consider the shift closure. Sorry, I might have forgotten. Sigma is the shift map. I take the shift closure of the fixed point, and I call that the substitution subshift defined by tau. Okay, now, in case you're worrying about admissibility, which you shouldn't, any primitive substitution always has some power which has an admissible fixed point. And since powers generate the same substitution subshift, we can always assume that we have an admissible fixed point. Okay, okay, the next section of definitions is for Bradley diagrams. It's a Bradley diagram is an infinite directed graph, vertex set V, edge set E. They can both be partitioned into non-empty finite sets of vertices. I better hurry. Okay, I will give you an example. So the only Bradley diagrams we're interested in are those associated with a substitution. So this substitution is, where is that pen? Right. This substitution is tau of A equals ABB, tau of B equals AB. So the way the Bradley diagram works is there's a clock at the origin. This picture goes off to the left. Okay. At each level, there are two vertices, because I have a two-letter alphabet, and there are edges from the second level to the first level. What I do is I look at the substitution word for A, which is ABB. There are two occurrences of B in tau of A, so therefore there are two edges coming out from A and landing at B. Okay, and similarly, tau of B is AB. So, for example, there will be exactly one edge going from B at the second level to B at the first level. Okay, so that is the Bradley diagram associated with a substitution. It's called stationary, and what stationary means is that there's a labeling of the vertices so that, well, first of all, there are equally many vertices in each vertex set. But also there's a labeling of the vertices so that the edges coming out are locally the same. Okay. If I have a primitive substitution, it implies that the Bradley diagram is what's called simple. This is a technical condition. And it's stationary, which is what I just said. Okay, to go forward a little bit. Well, if you have a Bradley diagram, you also have finite and infinite paths in the Bradley diagram. So it's the red path is an example. So it's usually a sequence. So it's and it's a sequence of edges en such that the source of en minus 1 here, source of en minus 1 is actually the range of edge en. Okay. So we consider the space of all infinite paths, left infinite paths. And that is called X sub B. And it's a compact metric space. Okay. So we have to order the Bradley diagram. So what we do is we put a partial order on the edges first so that we can compare edges if and only if they emanate from the same source. So once again, I'm only going to do this for substitutions. Take this substitution, tau of A equals BAB, tau of B equals B. Well, so the Bradley diagram here, there are two occurrences of B in tau of A, so I have two edges. Now, what I do is I look at the substitution word, and I look at where B is located in the substitution word. So there are two locations of B, the first letter and the third letter. My numbering system starts at 0, so I label them 0 and 2. Okay, and A is occurs as the middle, the first letter, or the second letter, so I label it 1. Okay, and in that way, I have a labeling on all edges on my Bradley diagram. Okay, if I have a partial order on the edges, that induces a partial order on all finite and infinite paths. So two infinite paths, I'm only interested in infinite paths, really. Two infinite paths are comparable if they have the same tail, so maybe they agree from this point on. And if I call my paths x and x prime, then x is less than x prime if xk is less than xk prime. But they agree for all n greater than k. Okay, so here's an example of a Bradley diagram which represents the binary odometer. There's a vertex at there's one exactly one vertex at each level. There are two edges, and maybe you know that this has a two adic integers. The minimal element would be all zeros. Okay, its successor, there's a one there. Its successor, there's a one here. Its successor is that. What I'm writing out actually is the binary representation of all natural numbers, starting at 0 and continuing. The successor here is 100, which is less than 101, which is less than 110, etc. Okay, and here's the vertex representation of the Morse substitution, the minimal path, its successor, its successor, its successor, and its successor. Okay, so because I've got by compactness, I know that there are going to be at least one minimal element and at least one maximal element. Okay, and I can define the vertex map, which is a successor map, on any element which is not maximal, because every element which is not maximal has a successor. Okay, so that is V sub B. In the situation where I have exactly one minimal element and exactly one maximal element, I can extend this on the whole space. So I map the maximal element to the minimal element. Okay, so if I have this situation where there's exactly one unique minimal element and one maximal element, I just map x max to x min. So then I have a homeomorphism of the space. And the only thing you need to know is that if it's a primitive substitution, there is exactly one minimal and one maximal element if and only if some power of my substitution is proper. Okay. So the following theorem is proved by Forrest, Durand, Ostskow, which says that if you have a primitive aperiodic substitution, then it's going to be conjugate to a Bradley-Virchow system. Okay. Okay, so the outline of the proof of our main theorem is first we identify an alphabet, and that's the hardest part. Then we define an automaton. Then we find an initial point, and that initial point we're going to also find a bicontinuous bijection F, which maps the C trajectory of the initial point to the V trajectory of the minimal element, so also that F commutes the Virchow map with the automaton. And if I do that, I will then be able to extend it to a topological conjugacy between the closure of the orbit of the initial point and the Virchow system. So that is the outline of the proof. I'm just going to talk a little bit about how to get this alphabet and this automaton. What I do is I look at all space-time diagrams for the Virchow map. Okay, so these are going to be Z cross N indexed spaces. Okay, where the elements are going to be, the alphabet is going to be all edges from the Bradley diagram, and I also associate to each edge the vertex that it emanates out of. Okay, so rows are iterates of whatever happens to be the row at the zero position, and then I extend on the right by putting this clock. This clock is just some sort of a timekeeping device. Okay, and I have the following lemma, which is Y is a subset of a subshift of finite type defined using the following tiles. Okay, there is one tile missing. It's four clocks, but that's not so important. Let me just tell you that these tiles respect the Vrsaljk map, and that's how it works. For example, here, what happens is that this edge I gets turned into I plus 1. It's obviously not the maximal edge, so it gets turned into I plus 1, and there's no carry, so this edge remains the same. In this situation, this edge is maximal, so it turns to 0, so there is a carry. That J is not maximal. It gets turned into a J plus 1. Okay, so this is where the tiles come from. Okay, and then finally, this is actually the main lemma. Supposing we've got a fragment from one of the space-time diagrams, which is a five-tuple that looks like this, the main lemma states that if you've got the four-tuple, these four little tiles, they generate the fifth one. Okay, so the fifth tile is actually a function of these four. I'm not going to prove this, but the proof is not very hard. So what that previous lemma means is if you've got an infinite diagonal ray like this in your space-time diagram, you can actually fill it in. See, this four-tuple generates this entry, this four-tuple generates this entry, this four-tuple generates that entry, and so on. You can carry on doing this so that this diagonal ray will actually generate a horizontal line. Okay? And that is going to be my conjugacy. That is going to be, my initial point is somehow going to be some diagonal line which projects onto the horizontal line, which is the minimal element in my Vrsaljk system. Okay? So now I can tell you what the alphabet of my automaton is going to be. The alphabet for the automaton, so, is going to be all three tuples. These are the these are the letters. Okay, so an element in that space is going to be an infinite collection of three tuples. I define the cellular automaton. It's going to have anticipation 1 and memory 1, and the motivation comes from the previous diagram. The image of this three tuple of three tuples is going to be ZYG, where ZYG is what happens if I put my three tuple as a ray, a diagonal like this. I apply the lemma, which tells me how I fill things in, and I look at what is directly underneath DEF. And so that is what's sput out. And then it can be arbitrary otherwise. Okay. Then I take my initial point X. Remember, I had to find an initial point. I take this to be my initial point. Why do I take that? Because actually, it is the point. So I put it in red here. When I put it in my space-time diagram as a diagonal, it is the point which maps to the minimal element on the horizontal. Okay. So, and that is So if you understand all those components, then you'll be able to understand this proof, which is to say that the orbit closure of X init under the automaton is C is topologically conjugate to the Vrsaljk system. Okay? And that just formalizes what I just said. And that's the end of that proof. So if you're interested in extending this work, we started off thinking about substitutions, but then we ended up looking at Bradley Vrsaljk systems. The question is, what kinds of Bradley Vrsaljk systems, other kinds of Bradley Vrsaljk systems, can you also emulate using an automaton? Okay, so thank you.